Welcome back, everyone. If you joined us on our Instagram Live on Sunday morning to watch the Australian Grand Prix, thank you very much. And if you didn't, make sure you are there next time by following us on Instagram. You can also follow us on Twitter and TikTok. Just search Racecast and I'm sure we'll come up. If you're watching on YouTube, please make sure you like, comment and subscribe. Comments in particular are our favourite. We love it when you get involved. It really does mean a lot to us. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any other streaming platform that we are available on, please give us 5 stars. That also means a lot to us and it helps the podcast out a lot. But this is our last episode for 4 weeks, I believe. We will be back after Miami. I'm going away for a month basically, so you can't really do a podcast if I'm not in the country. I thought I'd let you know that now rather than you wondering next week why we're not here. But we're going to crack on because we have a lot to talk about after an eventful Sunday.
All right, guys, welcome along to a brand new episode. And like Luke said, it is the last episode for a month. Luke's fault, not mine. He's decided to leave, going to Australia, then Bali, is it? It's not bad, is it?
No, it's nice. It's a shame that I wasn't out there a couple of weeks before, because then I could have gone to watch the race.
Yeah, and it was a good race. It was a very good race. But anyway.
So weirdly, might we add.
Because we discussed this. We were discussing when we wanted to do a live stream, weren't we, the other week? We were like, Jeddah, that's what we want to do. Mm. It was like Mother's Day. We couldn't do it. So we're like, you know what? It's going to be a bit boring, but we do Australia. How we were wrong. It was, for me, probably the best race we've had probably in the last year.
Silverstone. It's the most exciting race since Silverstone. For sure. It was a pretty crazy race because I think with everything that went on, for once, you didn't really know who was going to win. Obviously, eventually, Max got out in front, but then we had that next red flag. And I think that's what we've lacked from, Silverstone. Obviously, we had it at Jeddah last year and Bahrain last year, where you didn't know who was going to win the race. Yeah. And that is for the best part of last season and obviously the last two races before Australia, we haven't had.
Yeah.
You knew who was going to win pretty much every single race before it started. And that's why this was good.
But, you know, we did live stream yesterday and I really enjoyed it. It was great having you guys join us on the stream. It made getting up at 5:30 a bit more bearable. And actually it's quite pleasant when you're actually watching the race and it feels like you're constantly in like a little F1 community, having your say, getting other people's opinions. I really enjoyed it. So thank you to everyone who joined in. I don't know what you thought.
I was just tired.
You were pretty tired, weren't you? But it was definitely... I don't know,
did any of you just go straight to sleep after? After the race ended, I went to bed and went to sleep.
How long for?
Don't know. Woke up at like 11:15. So probably like hour and a half, 2 hours.
That's not too bad.
Because obviously, I was like, fucking hell, the race is dragging on. I just want to go to bed now. But it was a good race, but it was like red flag, red flag.
The issue is, normally, you would get up at 6, the race will be done by 7:30 if there's nothing happened, whatever, and then you can go back to bed. You know, it's not too bad, is it? The issue is, like you say, we had red flag, safety car, red flag, red flag. And this went on until, 8:30, almost 9 o'clock by time?
Yeah,
I left here, it was like 8:55, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good, but I can't complain. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But shall we get into talking about it?
Is there any general F1 news?
From looking at it, there's not really. It's basically covering yesterday's race.
Yeah, nothing new to report on then.
I'm going to bring in the news during talking about the race, if that makes sense, because there's certain topics which happened yesterday, which I feel like we need to touch on. However, there is literally, just looking...
breaking news.
Well, I say breaking news.
It won't be by the time you're listening to this.
Yeah. Former F1 team principal Paul Stoddart believes Mercedes were powerless to prevent Max Verstappen's victory. What? Hang on. It literally just said, right? This is ridiculous. F1 teams reach agreement on new race weekend format.
Oh, you see, okay, so I watched an interview with Zach Brown and some of the boys from Sky, which was post-race, I believe, where he basically said, I can't say anything, that he got probed about this new race format on a sprint weekend.
Yeah.
Is that what the news is saying? And he essentially said, I can't say anything. I certainly can't say anything on Sky.
It literally just, you click on it and it's nothing. So I was hoping I could give you something then, but it literally went
maybe on. By the end of the podcast, we can talk about this potential new sprint weekend format. Do you know what it is?
No.
So what I believe it is that they're saying that there's going to be like... qualifying, and I'm not sure if this means free practice is gone, by the way, but there's going to be qualifying, which is going to be your starting position for the race. There's going to be a time trial, which is your starting position for the sprint, because what they're then saying is that you keep qualifying as like your starting position for the race, which means it's less fatal if you crash out in the sprint. You know, that's what we've always said about the sprint. It's a bit pointless because people don't want to push hard because it makes more sense to just...
Especially for the minimal points you get for it,
Just hold your position for the race because that's where you're going to collect the big points. Whereas now, obviously, you'll do this time trial or whatever and that's your position for the sprint race. And it doesn't matter where you finish in the sprint. You can finish last. You still start in your qualifying, not time trial, your qualifying position.
What's your thought on getting rid of practice, though? Do you like practice, the three sessions?
To be honest, I do.
I think you can sometimes overcomplicate these type of things.
Maybe three practice sessions is a bit too much. Maybe one.
Yeah. I don't know. The thing I like about the three practice sessions is they're in, obviously, you've got a mixture, haven't you? You've got teams who are testing long runs, you know, qualifying pace runs. The sessions are done at different parts of the day. So the track might be hotter in certain parts of the day. You look at, for example, Bahrain, you're doing it in daylight. So it's a lot hotter. So they're seeing how the tyres go from that. Then obviously in the evening again.
It's a bit pointless, isn't it?
Maybe three of them, maybe.
You know, if you're never going to race around Bahrain, right, for example, they're never going to race around a track that is under the sun.
No.
So what is the point in practicing on a track that is under the sun?
Because I think those type of things you can gauge a lot, not just for that race, but you're constantly learning about the car for the whole season.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're doing different temperatures, different humidity and that type of stuff. And you might go, okay, this is what these tyres perform like, yes, in Bahrain, but actually maybe when we go to another track, we'll have similar sort of, you know, weather conditions. How would that affect?
Okay, so how about this for a format?
Okay.
Nope, in my head, that is just exactly the same as what the current sprint format is. I was going to say, free practice one, right?
Yeah.
Quali.
Yeah.
Free practice two, sprint.
Yeah.
But I don't like the fact that the sprint affects the race. I think get rid of that.
Yeah.
The sprint, you know, you can go off your quali time, basically.
I like the fact that when you qualify, you're qualifying for your race position. That's what I like.
I don't like the fact that that is then at risk.
Yeah, no, I agree. I like the sprint. I don't know.
Lot for drivers, is it not?
Yeah.
If they're now having to do, if you've got a time trial, a sprint, qualifying, and a race, that is four highly competitive, high intensity things that they have to do over the weekend, events.
Yeah.
You know, normally qualifying is intense, the race is intense. Now they've got those three free practice sessions to really gauge everything, understand where they can find a bit of time, get to feel with the car. And I feel like they might lose that if everything is just intense and drivers will burn out, that's a lot, especially with the calendar extending.
I was going to say, you've got 23 races. It's full on as it is, isn't it, for the team, without them having to constantly do...
You should have 24 races.
Well, in theory, yes, if China wasn't done. I don't know. I don't mind practice sessions. I learn... I like it personally because I learn quite a lot from it because, one, you're seeing, you've got the commentators going through, you know, strategies, what people are trying to do. You learn a bit more. It's more educational. You learn of things, different things about the car, bits about aerodynamics. For me, I don't mind the three practice sessions. For me, they're okay. But yeah, I agree with you. I prefer qualifying to always predict the race rather than qualifying predicts the sprint race, which the sprint race then predicts the race, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that was easy to understand, wasn't it?
I kind of confused myself a bit there. But
do you want me to... Because I've actually found what has been mutually agreed.
Yeah.
So instead, if the plan goes through qualifying for the sprint race will take place on a Saturday.
If you're listening at home.
It looks like we've got on Friday, FP1. But by the looks of it, that's going to be the only free practice session.
Okay.
We're then going to have quali.
Yeah.
We're then going to have, on Saturday, sprint race quali. We're then going to have sprint race and we're then going to have the Grand Prix on Sunday. So it doesn't look like they're going to do that time trial idea,
mm-hmm.
where I said, which would have just been set a flying lap, one flying lap. It looks like it's going to be a similar or the same style as qualifying, maybe just a bit shorter.
Yeah.
Seems a touch pointless.
Yeah, I think it's pointless. I don't think that gives teams long enough to come up with the best strategy for the race.
Well, yeah, what's going to happen with Parc Fermé rules here?
Yeah, I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. The one thing about, you know, Formula One and motor racing in general is you have those 3 days to get to grips with the car, learn about the car, make developments, make changes, sit down, come out with, you know, the best strategies. Instead, you're now putting it like it's like a, yeah, give you one practice, going out there qualifying, you know, you don't even know if that setup is going to be good enough yet because you haven't even practiced it. I like the fact that you have that practice, you then have qualifying on the Saturday and then the race day. That's, for me, I like it. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I think that's a bit excessive.
It's too much. And I guarantee it's very fan-driven to try and make it
more entertaining. They've been Netflixed. Like, that's all that's happened. It's been Americanized, isn't it? But I do think that the sprint format is good over certain weekends.
But in the right races.
Yeah, and I like it how it is, just I wouldn't want it to affect like the race result.
No.
And how, because I don't actually know this, Parc Fermé rules, how do they work at the moment on a sprint weekend? Is it literally once, because you quali on the Friday, don't you?
Yeah.
And then you've got a free practice session on the Saturday.
Saturday.
Same setup?
I believe so, yeah.
Because wouldn't it be interesting? I'm sure there are some cars that can be set up to be unbelievably quick over one lap.
Yeah.
But then, you know, for different reasons, can't keep that set up to race, to do a whole race, you know, be it for like tire deg reasons, for example.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be interesting if we could have it where Parc Fermé rules didn't apply to, you know, qualifying, and they could then, so they could run like, maybe this crazy setup, which allows them to pump a really quick lap. Say for example, Williams have a setup that they can run on the car that makes it unbelievably quick over one lap. So they're able to qualify in P1.
Yeah.
But then, you know, okay, then they've got their next free practice session on the Saturday. You've then got to have the setup for the sprint race. That's now going to be your setup for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah.
But now that car is set up like how we see the Williams. Wouldn't that make the race more interesting?
Yeah.
Imagine, for whatever reason, the Red Bull wasn't able to qualify P1, P2. But obviously we know it's the quickest race car.
Yeah.
I think that would be quite a cool concept. And I know this is also really unlikely that there'd be like, you know, chances are the Red Bull would just be the quickest car. But there is a possibility that there is a car on that track that, for whatever reason, is mega fast on one lap with a certain setup.
2 points, okay. One, if they brought this in and you introduce a sprint race and then you like...
It's not going to be every weekend, is it? Is that what they're suggesting?
No, I don't think so. But say it was every weekend, there's multiple factors they would have to consider in this. You've got teams who would actually be very conservative in their approach because obviously it's a cost cap. You don't want to, you know, ruin your, you know, things like gearbox, you know, your engine, all of that type of stuff. Because as soon as you start, you know, running at high speeds and all of that stuff, you're going to cause more damage and potentially have to change, you know, parts of your car sooner than what you would normally do. Would the FIA look at that and go, okay, well, we'd give you more leeway for certain gearbox changes or whatever like that? So there's that factor. But what if, and this is just what if qualifying you got points for, you know, you get points for sprint race. What if the top 10 got points for qualifying and they made that all across the season? I think that would be relatively cool because can you imagine Albon or a Haas getting into Q3 for them? That's like getting points, isn't it? Well, it is getting points, but... That's big for them.
That's like getting points.
That's big.
Under your new system, it is.
Yes, that'd be big for them.
Yeah.
Honestly, I know this would never happen, but I would actually think having points over a two-day weekend would be quite exciting. Like, if you knew you're going into qualifying and you're like, okay, getting into Q3 is like so important because you can get points.
I understand the point, but is qualifying not like really important already? So that's the difference with like the sprint race is that does give points and people are still like, it's not that important.
Yeah.
Like I'd rather just preserve, you know, the car and not take any risks just to maintain this position and then I'll go for it in the race.
Yeah, but how many times have you seen in Q3 like a Williams getting in or a Haas and...
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
For them, those one or two points could be crucial to where they finish in the championship at the end of the season. Especially how varied the grid is this year with different type of drivers getting into Q3. I mean, you could end up having an Alfa Romeo in there, a Haas, a McLaren. I know, you know, how McLaren...
Maybe you might also get them actually finishing in the points.
Yeah.
As we've seen.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing I'm fucking bored of.
What's that?
The cost cap.
Yeah.
Can we just get rid of it? Like, I'm going to put it out there. What has it actually changed?
Nothing. Well, it had,
it hasn't. Red Bull and Mercedes are, you know, still...
rich.
Yeah, they're still, like, the two fastest teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mercedes have had their issues, which if they were able to throw loads of money at it, would have been ironed out. And maybe we'd be having a better race at the front because they would have had more money to throw at the car. And... it would be maybe on par with the Red Bull. Ferrari would have been able to throw money at their car. They wouldn't have stopped upgrading last season. They would have just carried on. Maybe it would have given us a more exciting end to the season. Maybe they would have fixed their reliability issues earlier. Aston Martin, well, they've made these strides under the cost cap. Imagine where they'd be without a cost cap.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not being funny. It hasn't made the grid any closer, in my opinion. And I know people might argue, oh, have you seen like some of the gaps in quali, you know, like just 8 tenths separated, like 14 of the grid. Yeah, but okay, let's look to the races.
Which is the most important thing.
They have not changed much. in my opinion. I prefer these cars. I think these cars do provide better racing. I think they'd provide even better racing if they could just spend whatever they wanted on them.
Yeah.
So let me know if you agree. Are we bored of the cost cap? What's the point, you know? These teams make a lot of money. Let them spend the money.
Yeah.
I could guarantee the sport would benefit from removing the cost cap and just letting these teams spend, because we'd have more competitive racing.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. I agree with you.
Especially with these new cars that we have complemented.
You saw that in 21. You started to see Red Bull come into the picture. You got a good racing between Mercedes and Red Bull. If you kept that, for example, that format now, like you say, would Ferrari be in there? Yeah. Would Aston Martin? Would McLaren be better off? Who knows?
My point is not to disregard the fact that obviously previously we've never had a cost cap, and previously we have always seen a dominant car. I'm just saying it's not changed. We're still seeing a dominant car.
The main reason for it all is to make it fair across the board. That's it. Ultimately, it's not there to...
And I understand it, but sport isn't fair. You know...
Can you imagine cost cap in... I know it's not a football podcast, but in football.
In the Premier League, imagine, yeah, like... So, Man City, maybe Newcastle now, but let's say Man City, richest club in the Premier League that can attract big players. They're only allowed to spend the same amount as Bournemouth or something. There's, you know... I understood it at first, and I think it was definitely worth a go, them doing it. But I genuinely just don't believe it's changed anything.
Let us know what your thoughts are. Do you think the cost cap should go? And if so, why? Let us know. I know we've discussed about qualifying and our fantasies of what we think would be great, but there is a bit of news. The Australian Grand Prix organisers have taken a bit of scrutiny this weekend after a fan was hit by debris and others invaded a track. Did you hear about this? I love reading articles sometimes, because...
You can't really help someone being hit by debris, can you? There's fences up and everything.
Yeah. But let me tell you this, and let's see if you feel sorry for him, okay? Knowing you, I guarantee you won't. So a F1 fan at the Australian Grand Prix suffered a cut to his arm when struck by a piece of debris from K-Mac's car, putting a spotlight on organisers' safety protocols.
No way, a cut arm?
Well, if you hear it, he's lucky to be alive, okay? So Will Sweet, I don't know why, when I read articles and people describe what they went through, it's so bizarre. Will Sweet said he was standing with his fiancée on a packed hill just off turn two at Albert Park during Sunday's race when a Danish Haas driver car hit the barrier, sending his tyre and debris flying into the air. Did you know debris flies into the air? Mental.
What are they supposed to do? Put a roof up everywhere?
It slapped me in the arm and I was just standing there bleeding. He told radio station, my arm was covering where my neck would have been, but if that had hit my fiance, it would have got her right in the head. I realised how big it was and how heavy it was. Parts of it shredded and really sharp. If it hit me in a different angle, it could have been horrendous.
Yeah. I'm not denying that, but should we just... All right, new rule.
No one ever came and looked to see if I was okay.
That's because no one cares. Shall everyone just turn up with like in big protective bubbles? I genuinely think something like that is clearly an anomaly, right? And does it happen there every year? Like, is someone hit by debris there every year?
No.
Some things, right? Sometimes these things are going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's like ideal for this geezer who's been struck by a piece of metal. It's pretty cool, to be fair. I mean, it's a good story to tell, let's be honest. And you didn't die. That's in the picture. He had a little bit of blood running down his arm.
He could have died, though.
All right. So could you when you crossed the road earlier?
Valid.
I'm not saying if there was like blatant negligence here, and he was hit because there was no fencing up or something, then of course this is an issue with the organisers. I've seen that part of the track. I don't believe there's a lack of fencing there.
I think this is where they're concerned. So you see this in the picture. The barrier is here. Fans were climbing over the barriers to get right close. So that I can understand. Don't get me wrong, I don't think that's going to make a massive difference. But by fans literally standing right by the fence.
If anything, you're not safer there. Because debris not going to fly up like that and then just come straight back down, is it? But...
Did you ever used to play the game Worms?
No.
Didn't you? Oh, honestly, it's almost...
What I would like to say about those fans, right?
Yeah.
Is we've got this lovely culture in the world where we put ourselves in harm's way and then it's someone else's fault for not stopping us.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's like the fact we have to have a yellow line at a railway track to say don't stand too close to the trains coming through. Why? On bleach it says do not drink. Why do we have to be told to not drink? Like, everyone knows don't drink bleach.
There was a certain individual who was saying that bleach could...
Exactly. But and that's what I mean. This is the sort of people we're dealing with. And like I say, they can't do absolutely everything to stop these things happening. At the end of the day, you know, if you're getting close to high-speed cars, there's a chance something might fly off and hit you. But you've seen the pictures there. There's fencing up.
Yeah.
There's, unless they literally enclose them like wild animals.
Put perspect all along the, so it's literally just a clear screen.
Yeah, but you'd have to put it on the roof as well, because presumably this has flown up over the fence and then come down. It's not flown through the fence.
Mm, true.
So
poor guy.
Yeah. I think that's probably a bit harsh on the organisers. The people running on the track, however, before the race had finished, that is an issue with the organisers, because that shouldn't be... I'm not saying it's their fault necessarily that it's happened.
But obviously, it shouldn't be happening, should it?
People took it upon themselves to go on the track. But, yeah, that shouldn't be something that is possible to achieve.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Shall we talk about the race?
Nah.
Okay, right. Thanks for listening. Obviously, we'll quickly touch on practice. It was pretty dominant from the Red Bulls. P1 in FP1, P3 for Max in FP2, and P1 again for Max in FP3. So, on a whole, it was pretty much looking like a Red Bull dominant weekend. Qualifying, however, this is where it got interesting. I actually really enjoyed qualifying. I thought it was good. I'm not just saying that because obviously Mercedes were up there, but on a whole...
Quali was worth waking up for, I would say. Especially, like, I'm sure fans of every other team thought this when they saw a Mercedes spin out over the last 8 years, or, you know, prior to the last year. And you think, oh, you know, maybe there's a chance for my guy to get into that spot, be it you're a Ferrari fan or a McLaren fan or whatever. So seeing Perez go off in Q1,
it's just,
that was like, okay, we can get there. We can get P2.
Let's just touch on Perez, okay? Because we've discussed this before. When Perez, and I'm only saying this because I saw a lot of this over social media, so I thought it was a bit funny. When Perez gets the opportunity to become a championship contender, as we say, you know, something always seems to happen that pretty much just like goes, do you know what? Yeah, right, we'll put a stop to that straight away.
Christian Horner came out and said, we give our drivers equal opportunities to go for the championship.
Yeah.
On the same weekend that Perez's car seemingly can't brake properly.
Then you turn to an engineer and then he's got part of the brake in his hand. Oh, we didn't fit this. Oh,
is that what happened?
No, I'm joking.
Oh, imagine. Like, camera turns to him, he's just like that. I think, no, I'm not going to start an agenda here because I think Checo sometimes doesn't help himself. But
Agreed.
But yeah, whether those comments about equal opportunities... And I've always said as well, you know, if you're new around it, I've always said, I understand it. Why wouldn't you prioritise Max? He's a better driver.
Oh yeah, 100%.
But
I just find it funny that as soon as Perez has like a good race, you look at Monaco last year, he won Monaco, and it wasn't the next race he had a shocker or something?
We got a new contract, but he had a pretty bad season
It was fluctuating, wasn't it? It wasn't the most straightforward, but it just made me laugh. It was kind of like, okay, Perez is doing well here, guys. Max,
let's turn off his brakes. And, you know, there he goes. But, yeah, no, that was I felt bad for him. I mean, I was happy, don't get me wrong. You know, I liked the opportunity, but it being Checo, like, I did feel bad for him.
Yeah.
He does always seem to have...
He always seems to have the...
Something happens to him.
So, interestingly, the people who went out, obviously, Perez didn't start. And it always makes me laugh because... You know, you have to be over that 107% rule to be able to start a race, okay?
I've never really understood this rule.
I've never understood it, but it always makes me laugh because realistically, Perez shouldn't have started the race because he hadn't completed enough to be able to start the race because he didn't set a lap time in qualifying. But it always makes me laugh when they go, oh, under this circumstance, we're going to let Perez race. Of course you're going to let him race. You're not going to like turn around and go, right, nah.
Why don't they just get rid of the rule?
Makes it much easier.
Because clearly, you know, it's been demonstrated, particularly this weekend, that sometimes the rules don't make any sense.
No.
And sometimes they take way too long to apply. And if you want to talk about rules and fuck-ups, we can go all the way back to 2021, where... A mess in the rule book cost someone a world championship. And now, fast forward...
But we're over it.
Definitely. Fast forward, what, a year and a half or whatever, and there's still complicated rules.
Yeah, no, I agree. So Q1, you saw Perez, Bottas, Sargeant, Zhou and Piastri go out. For me, the biggest surprise was obviously Sergio Perez. But
really?
Yeah, funny that, isn't it? Bit surprised with Bottas this year, if I'm honest. I expected better.
I'm surprised by the Alfa Romeo.
Yeah.
I expected better from that car. I said early on in the season, it's a dark horse.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
No, so Perez went out in P19, but obviously Piastri also went out in McLaren. Was I overly surprised? Not really.
Not really. That McLaren is a real piece of work.
Yeah. Obviously, going into Q2, we saw Nyck de Vries go out. Obviously, K-Mag, Norris, Tsunoda and Ocon. Ocon, that was a surprise for me going out in Q2.
Yeah, because that Alpine is not a bad car, and we saw that Gasly in the race.
Yeah, Gasly showed this weekend. But
can we just say, K-Mag is being smoked by the Hulk this season?
I didn't expect it. In all honesty, I thought K-Mag would smoke him.
Because I said this on the live stream, I think. Did we think that K-Mag was just performing well in that Haas because he was up against Mick Schumacher, who wasn't performing well? You know, and now has Hulk come in and actually he's performing well.
Do you think in the next Drive to Survive, we're going to see Gunther having a chat with Hulkenberg about, yeah, K-Mag, we may have to end up getting rid of him. He's a...
Well, probably.
You know.
I mean, it's very early days, but Hulkenberg has... been consistently quicker than him this season.
Yeah. And we saw that by him getting into Q3, which for me, I thought he did very well. Also, that Alex Albon. That Alex Albon. Getting into Q3, solid day for him on Saturday. And obviously Pierre Gasly as well. You know, he did great. He's really taken to that Alpine. And that showed yesterday in qualifying and in the race. He's really gelled into that Alpine. He showed that in Bahrain. He showed that in Jeddah. He's starting to actually, you know, get results there.
Yeah. He loves that Alpine so much, he wanted two of them this weekend.
He did. He wanted to make it a double car.
Yeah, but we'll get on to that. But yeah, I do. And I'm happy for Gasly as well. I like him.
But Q3 gave me flashbacks. I had flashbacks of 2021, seeing Lewis Hamilton go quickest, then off sudden Max go quickest, and then they go in before their second run, and you're thinking, Christ, okay, we've got Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen going for pole here, and Max just went out, smashed it, got P1.
Yeah.
George, a lovely P2, Hamilton P3.
And George was only, what, a tenth and a half off Max?
He was, just over 2/10.
And Lewis was, what, like about 3/10?
3/10, yeah.
So it was closer this weekend.
Yeah. The Ferrari, Carlos Sainz, out-qualified Leclerc. I know Leclerc obviously went out in lap one. He got tangled up. He went off, which is fine. It's a tough time for that Ferrari, those Ferrari boys at the moment.
It's their worst start to the season since, I want to say, 2010.
Yeah. Is it? Christ.
But yeah, it's certainly, I mean, look at the standings, right? Us and everyone in the F1 space has rinsed that McLaren.
Yeah.
McLaren have more points than Ferrari this season now.
Which is mad. Hülkenberg has more points than Charles Leclerc.
Or did I just make that up?
I can tell you. So
McLaren have 14 points. Maybe Ferrari have...
You've absolutely butchered that.
I made it up.
You've made it up.
The Ferrari have 23, don't they?
Ferrari have 26 points.
26.
McLaren have 12. I mean, it's close.
It's not far off. It's not far off. But I still think Ferrari are... Well, no, here's a point. Is it Lando Norris has more points than Charles Leclerc? Give me this one.
So... Lando Norris has 8 points.
Yes.
Charles Leclerc has 6.
Yes.
Hülkenberg is on the same amount of points with 6 than Charles Leclerc. Ironically, so, I know I said about Bottas, but he's actually got 4 points.
Yeah, there's only 2 drivers on the grid now with no points, and that is Logan Sargeant and Nick DeVries.
The rookies.
Nick DeVries has a lot less excuses than Logan Sargeant, in my opinion.
Sargeant, mark my words, will come good. He's showing pockets of, yeah, apart from what he did yesterday in the race when he...
Yeah, and we need to talk about all this. We'll go through the race.
We haven't even started the race yet.
No.
Well, how long are we in? God, we're 40 minutes in already.
We'll get to... Because there's an issue with penalties and the consistency and application of penalties that we need to talk about. So we will get there.
So let's start the race, okay? Good start.
A lovely start for George Russell.
Lovely start. He went past Max into turn one.
Also a great start for Fernando Alonso.
Fernando Alonso.
Almost got Lewis.
Yep. Lewis went into P2. Max dropped down to P3.
Did you see the Max saying that he got pushed off the road?
He did. So,
which, firstly, that stinks of irony. And secondly, he didn't. Like, Lewis braked later than him, went into the corner. Max, it's the double standards. Was it last season in Interlagos? He was like, well, you know, I saw he was there and I just thought, well, I'm not backing out, so we'll just crash. And now he's annoyed that Lewis has outbraked him and got in front of him, basically.
Lewis Hamilton lives rent-free in Max Verstappen's head, and it showed again this weekend, because you don't see Max Verstappen getting rattled by anyone else. If anyone else did that to him yesterday, I honestly don't think he would have said anything.
The thing is, that's the exact sort of move that Max would make, and it's a move that we'd be saying, like, that's a classic Max move. It's a great overtake.
Yeah, but take away whether it's Lewis or Max. If anyone else did that, I think Carlos Sainz did a move similar to that on Lando halfway through the race. And we were like, that's a good overtake. That's a good overtake. It could have been anyone and it would have been a good overtake. However, Max Verstappen has come out and said, from my side, I just tried to avoid the contact.
Very different approach than from his one in Brazil last season.
It's quite clear in the rules what you're allowed to do now in the outside, but clearly it's not followed. But that's okay. We had a good pace and passed them anyway. It's something for the next races to take into account.
Shall we refer him back to Brazil 2021 as well? Lewis was on the outside there and in front, probably similar to what Max was in this race. And he tried to run him into Sao Paulo town.
Yeah.
So not a fan of that reaction from Max. I think you've got to take it as good as you give it.
Yes, I agree with you. I thought it was a good overtake. But like I said, and that's not, I'm not just saying that because it was Hamilton. I mean, generally, anyone else could have done that. As I said, Sainz did a very good overtake.
I didn't expect Max to be outbraked, especially by Mercedes.
No.
So it was a good overtake.
From our point of view, we were very happy to see Mercedes come back in and show a bit of pace, show a bit of... It just looked good, didn't it? So George led the race. Safety car came out. Who did they come out for? Oh, Albon. Came out for Albon. And interestingly, George pitted, which I think...
At the time made sense.
Made perfect sense. Hamilton stayed out. Verstappen stayed out. There was only four cars that went on softs who started on softs. I think there was four cars who started on hards and the rest were on mediums. So George came in for hards. Literally, that put him down to P8. And then because Albon went off, because there was so much debris.
There wasn't. Gravel. There was gravel.
Gravel. Because there's so much gravel on the track.
The race got red flagged because there was gravel.
Yep.
Are we not going to talk about that as a ridiculous point?
I agree with you. It didn't make much sense at the beginning because I was a bit like, why are they red flagging this? It's like,
did it even make sense at the end?
No. Because anyway,
there's also this stuff with like cranes and stuff on track because they had something to like. Well, they brought something on to clean the track. Firstly, what's wrong with a good old broom? Just get some guys out there, sweep it up. They'll know where everyone is, right? They'll just be like, oh, safety car's coming around. Make sure you clear quickly. Clear. Yeah. Okay, all the cars go past. Get back out there. Sweep. I do feel like this safety thing is being taken one step too far.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, we know that people aren't in danger if the cars are on the other side of the track.
Yeah.
You could lay down on that track. I'm not suggesting anyone do that, but you could, and you'd be safe because we know that the cars are on the opposite side of the track. Mm. That was a pretty unnecessary red flag. You can get people out there to sweep it up, and that's fine. Lifting the car, if there is something on track in those conditions, right, dry, sunny, very visible, is there as much risk?
No, I don't think so. But we said, didn't we? It didn't... None of that made sense to us. We've seen worse ones not be a red flag.
Yeah.
And like we say, George coming in and pitting made perfect sense because I never in a million years thought that was going to be a red flag.
It can really ruin people's races.
Yeah. And it did.
It would ruin people's races the other way as well, because if you didn't pit and then if you got rid of this, you can't change your tires under the red flag.
Yeah.
Like say that was the rule. It then messes up all that as well, because you're gonna get a much better launch off the line if you did come in before and you're on the fresher tires.
Yeah.
All the while you're behind a safety car, there's still an opportunity to pit.
Yeah.
If you get rid of the rule of you can't change tyres under a red flag, then you completely lose that opportunity where someone might have already taken it under
they're in a better position,
safety car. So I just think we need to try and avoid red flags as best as possible.
So we had three of them yesterday, if you don't know. Three red flags during the race. Let's just touch on the Albon one. Obviously, it's a bit of a weird one. He just lost understeer, went off, hit the barrier a bit, bounced back off. It didn't look like anything that should have been a red flag. But they took their time. after Georgia pitted, they then decided to red flag it. That was a frustrating thing. So that moved George down to eighth. Lewis, Max were P1 and P2. We're kind of like, this is just very strange. Obviously, if you don't know, if you're from a red flag point of view, you can actually come in and you can do some work on the car and you can change your tyres.
Yeah, me personally, someone got a new wing at some point, didn't they?
Yeah. I don't know who. I can't remember who.
Yeah.
But for me, I don't agree with that. I like, obviously, it benefited cars yesterday by having a red flag, but I don't like that you can do work to the car and change stuff. That's not really...
How about this as a rule proposal? If you do keep that, anyone that pitted under the safety car returns to their original position.
See, that I would go for.
Because that levels it out and it makes it fair.
Because realistically, you're talking about from when the collision happened. And actually, yeah, like you say, if you've got... But also... Is that the FIA not being quick enough with their decisions and it's their fault? Or is it the strategy's problem that, you know, you could be coming past a pit car and they go pit lane and you're like, safety, come in now. Where actually they're not waiting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, but I mean, to be honest, at the rate they bring out red flags now, you might as well just not come in. Chances are it'll be a red flag anyway.
We've gone back to Massey era. Massey was obviously here this weekend. But yeah, it felt very much like Michael Massey era yesterday. Let's talk about red flags, because a lot of drivers have come out and discussed this weekend.
Because obviously eventually, you know, at this point, George Russell is out of the race. Max is P1. He's got like a 10-second lead. Lewis is managing Alonso.
Yeah.
Carlos Sainz has made strides. Gasly is holding on really well. Stroll's fallen off a little bit.
Yeah.
Perez has pushed through. And we get a red flag.
For K-Mag,
who decides to, for whatever reason, drive into a wall. There's no real explanation to it, other than the fact he just drove into a wall.
His right rear tyre goes flying up in the air. A man gets hit in the arm with debris.
Yeah. It's the organiser's fault.
Yeah. So we've discussed the FIA's decision making quite a bit over last year, and interestingly, it pains me to say this, I think it's got worse than it was under Michael Massey.
Yeah,
I'm not saying Michael Massey's decisions were great, but if you look at yesterday when K-Mag went into the wall. All of a sudden, it went yellow flag, straight back to green flag, and there was no yellow flags. Do you remember? Because we said, you were like, why has it gone green flag?
Was that when K-Mag?
When K-Mag went into the wall. Because you were like, why is it saying green flag? It took so long for them to make a decision. Cars had basically done half a lap before they even decided to make a red flag or anything, any decisions.
But I was tired. I don't remember that.
You're the one who even said to me, why is there a green flag? That makes no... What? You know, the decision-making is so slow. And my concern for this is they're going to cause real harm with these late decisions. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to make a decision that, oh, there's a car with a tyre missing. Because yellow flags.
Yeah, I mean... I understand why that one got red flagged as well, because it damaged the Tech Pro and there was a lot of debris, and yeah, getting rid of that car was not going to be light work. But yeah, they've made a meal out of everything. This is what I mean. Like, are they just taking the safety business too far? But then actually, inadvertently, sometimes they're making terrible decisions, which are like... actually endangering drivers by being too slow. And then sometimes they act like ridiculously quick, like with Lance Stroll, who pulls up in a literally like a pull-off space and they instantly red flag it.
But you look at Suzuka last year, okay? You had... Sainz had crashed. they bring out the yellow flags, poor visibility, no one can see anything what they're doing. You've got Gasly racing around like he's just leading a race or whatever. And then they decide to red flag it.
Yeah, no, there's been like multiple weird decisions.
It doesn't make sense to me.
But it gets weirder in this race, to be honest.
It does. Let me just touch on what drivers have said about the red flags. Verstappen declared the situation a mess of the FIA's own making and noted he could not understand why a safety car or virtual safety car had not been used instead of a red flag. George Russell called the red flags unnecessary, and McLaren's Lando Norris implied the FIA was making decisions in an attempt to improve the show. Interesting.
Yeah, that's what we said about 2021.
Yep, and that hasn't improved. Toto Wolff has said in each case it was not clear why the race had been stopped, and he echoed Russell's opinion that alternatives were available. Both red flags we didn't see coming. Restarts are a great entertainment factor, but we need to understand going forward when a red flag is being put out and when it is a safety car or VSC. For those instances, you could have applied either. Formula One is so successful because it's a sport and we follow the rule book, and that gives a great entertainment, as long as it is clear how it is being interpreted. Whether you call a VSC or a safety car or a red flag, as long as we understand in terms of us being able to plan and having the same rules for everyone, then that is okay. They are strong words. I mean, and they are big words from big personalities in the paddock. So I personally feel the FIA are under a lot of scrutiny at the moment, a lot of pressure. And yeah, I just felt like yesterday there's no guidance. We sat there and were like, this makes no sense.
Well, because we had the K-Mag red flag, and then it was, you know, everyone, get back on the grid. We're doing a restart.
Yeah.
Brilliant. We restart. There's like six crashes where you had Logan Sargeant run into the back of, was it an AlphaTauri ran into the back of?
I think it was De Vries, wasn't it?
You had Carlos Sainz.
Take out Alonso.
There was something else further up the road as well. Perez went off.
Ocon went into Gasly.
Ocon and Gasly collided. Well, Gasly shut the door on him.
He did.
It was his fault. But now, okay, so we get another red flag.
Hang on. Not even a red flag. You've even got Stroll, who decides to even not bother turning the car and go straight off.
Yeah.
And that saw both our Aston Martins literally drop to the back of the grid.
Yeah. So now, you know, it looks completely different. You've got Yuki Tsunoda in what, P4?
P5. Hülkenberg was P4.
Hülkenberg P4. Carlos Sainz P3. Lewis P2. Max P1. Yeah, you've got...
both Alfa Romeos in the points. Yeah, both McLarens in the points.
And you've got, both Aston Martins out of the points. So it gets red flagged, very understandably, by the way, this red flag, because it was chaos.
Yeah.
We've got, what, two laps to go?
Two racing laps to go.
Then they decide, so we're all in the pits. Carlos Sainz is getting a 5-second penalty for taking out Alonso.
Well, no, because it was lap 56 that restart happened. So by the time they went out round...
Well, yeah, so it's lap 57.
57, which then meant by the time they went through the pit for the red flag...
Well, they've then got to come back round to do the formation.
Yeah, which was then lap 58.
Yeah, so Sainz got a... All of the cars got put back to the position that they started in from the original red flag.
Which made sense.
Yeah. Sainz then got a penalty for hitting Alonso, even though it didn't matter because everything got reset. So essentially it never happened.
Yeah.
In terms of the race, that never happened. Logan Sargeant, who just didn't brake and went into the back of Nick De Vries, didn't get a penalty. Pierre Gasly, who literally... just completely shut the door on Ocon and wiped them both out, didn't get a penalty.
Didn't make any sense.
It was unbelievable. I can't even really dive into the end of that race because it was so confusing. But it was a shit show, and I think that's how
and
we can...
it wasn't just confusing, it was pointless because,
yeah,
as far as I'm concerned, just end the race. Don't have to go round.
At least take it back a lap and give us one racing lap, if that's really what you want to do.
Yeah. And we know the FIA can manipulate rules.
Yeah.
So
it's true.
You could make it up how you wanted it. But isn't it funny? They did the rules properly yesterday, that things finish under safety car, whatever. Did the rules properly this time.
This time, yeah.
But it just took a long time. And I agree that it is tough. Martin Brundle, let me see if I can find his quote, because it was quite an interesting... because he was asked about... logging into everything is a nightmare. He was asked about what he thought of what the FIA did and how they handled it. And he was actually quite relatively supportive of them. Let's see if I can...
Oh, what was it Crofty saying in the on commentary? Something whack. And Ted was saying, like, what's the point? And he's like, well, because it's the rules. Yeah. I was like, oh, shut the fuck up, man.
So Martin Brundle has defended the FIA over the officiating of the Australian Grand Prix, insisting a late red flag was not motivated by a desire to create more fun. He said, absolutely not. I don't think there was any instruction to whiz this show up when required. You have to walk a mile in the shoes of the people who are responsible. It is easy for us to sit in the sidelines going, should have done this, should have done that. But back in 2009, Felipe Massa nearly died with a piece of someone else's car coming through his cockpit. It is also a street circuit. There is a lot of fans either side of the track, also marshals, medics, and they are down there. So if there's a piece of debris on the track and you can't have them flying around the air at a couple hundred miles per hour... I get that.
I completely agree. I don't think it was done for entertainment.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that the rules that were applied were seemingly pointless. What if we're just going to go around?
Yeah, you could just end it.
What's the point? At least write into the rules, like, if we're going to go back out, there has to be at least one complete lap of racing.
Yeah.
And then that's fine. We all would have... I don't think we'd even be talking about this. We would have been saying, like, wow, what a good ending.
Yeah.
Had we had one lap of racing.
Me personally, if they just ended that then and said...
That would have made so much more sense.
I would have gone, okay, fine. You know, take it. I completely understand it. But you actually have to take them out for one lap. Max, you're just going to go round. No one can overtake you. We're just going to go for a... And just take the checkered flag. What's the point? It's pointless. Let us know what your thoughts are. What's your thoughts on the red flags? Do you think there was too many? Do you think the FIA are a bit of a joke at the moment? Or do you think they're actually officiating quite well? Let us know what your thoughts are on that. Just going back to Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen, first lap overtake.
What? Haven't we already talked about that?
We have, but I didn't tell you what Lewis said about it. So I told you what Max said about it, but I didn't tell you what Lewis said about it.
I know what Lewis said about it.
What did you say?
Was this in, like, after the race?
Yeah.
Where he just says... I braked later. I didn't run him off the track. It's just racing.
I thought it was pretty decent. He braked early and I braked late. I was fully up the inside and I think we both left space for each other. I didn't run him off the road and he didn't turn in on me. We didn't touch and that's racing.
Yeah.
Fair play. Let me have that, all right? Let me have that.
Yeah, I mean, just a bit pointless. You should have said it earlier.
Well, it wasn't until I... Anyway.
God. I think we...
I'm going to miss you for next month.
I know. But, so obviously the race ended, Max P1, Lewis P2, Alonso P3. Not the fairest ending in my opinion, but there we have it, Carlos Sainz dead last.
Who's your driver of the day?
I don't understand why Perez got driver of the day.
Last to P5?
Yeah. No, I personally don't think he was driver of the day. Look at someone like Gasly, who did really well to keep up with them lot. Carlos Sainz.
I would have said Gasly. I know it didn't end well for him, but I think he did well within that Alpine. I was impressed with him.
Yeah.
I thought he was good. So, driver standings, this is how it looks. Obviously, Max Verstappen is in P1, 69 points. Perez, P2 with 54. Alonso, third. Lewis, fourth. Sainz, fifth. Stroll, sixth. Russell, seventh. Lando Norris in there in P8. And Hülkenberg, P9. And Charles Leclerc, P10. I was delighted that Tsunoda got a point, to be fair. Because...
Mr. 11th.
He didn't have that record. Yeah, what were they going on about yesterday? Oh, he'll get this record. I'm pretty sure he doesn't want to. The Constructors sees Red Bull leading with 123 points. Aston Martin in P2. Mercedes P3. Ferrari P4. McLaren 5th. Alpine 6th. Haas 7th. Alfa Romeo 8th. Alfa Tauri 9th. And Williams 10th. So it's very close. It's very close. And obviously we're only... three races in, but I thoroughly enjoyed it yesterday, and I even enjoyed it more because Mercedes look like they're coming back to the party.
Yeah, and next stop is Baku.
Yeah, and we have we've seen over the years in Baku, haven't we? It throws up a few little surprises. Obviously, we've seen Vettel there on the podium in the past. Lewis Hamilton doesn't turn off his magic button, goes flying off after turn one. It's an exciting race.
Yeah, I'm expecting big things.
But you won't be back.
I won't. I'll be watching it in Bali.
Bali? Is that where you've been then? Very nice indeed. But no, on a whole, I actually really enjoyed this race weekend. From qualifying...
8 out of 10.
Yeah, solid 8 out of 10.
Ending should have been better.
Yes. I don't know. Who... Do you believe... Are you on the hype that Mercedes are back? Or are you thinking this is a one-off?
Just a one-off. No, they've even said, like, we haven't changed anything on the car. We just... setting it up a bit better now.
They were massively surprised, weren't they?
Yeah, I'm not expecting anything big at Baku, but they'll probably, to be fair, they'll probably be a bit quicker than the Astons because obviously there's a lot of straight at Baku.
Yeah.
And we saw that the Mercedes is quicker in a straight line than the Aston Martin, but we haven't really seen the Aston Martin set up with like a reduced drag setup. So it'd be interesting. I think Baku could be a fairly decent track for the Merc. Don't write off the Ferrari just yet.
No. What? Because I didn't know about this, but Lewis and the team celebrations after, there was something you said earlier that happened, which I didn't.
Yeah, well, apparently there just wasn't anyone there. Like, and he said, I think it was Kelly Slater uploaded like a video. He was there. And like Lewis is just like, well, where the fuck is my team?
Have we heard any more about that?
No, nothing.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very weird. Very weird.
Do we read too much into that? Or
Maybe. You know, it's busy all around there, isn't it? And
Interesting. But no, guys, hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast. Let us know what you thought of the race. Obviously, we won't be back now for a whole month, but... I will be doing stuff on Instagram, so follow us on the Racecast Insta. Luke will pop up every now and then, let us know how his holiday's going, maybe even say a couple of bits on the...
Well, maybe around Baku, you know. I'll be down the pub, don't know where I'll be, but I'll be somewhere in Bali watching it, find some sports bar, hopefully.
Not jealous at all.
No, I wouldn't be.
We'll have a good time.
Yeah, thanks.
We'll be back in a month's time. But yeah, do follow us on our social medias. We will be keeping updated. Well, I say we will keep updated. I'll be keeping updated. Luke does his bit every now and then.
We'll be on holiday.
Well, even when you're not on holiday, you do a little bit, don't you? But God, the look you just gave me then.
What?
You just look like you're... But yeah, have a good time and I shall see you in a month's time. Let us know what your thoughts are on this whole episode. Give us your thoughts on the whole race weekend as well. Is Mercedes back? Are they not? Are Ferrari in trouble? Let us know what your thoughts are, and we shall see you in a month's time. Luke, have fun in a bit.